And that sound means it's time for History Matters, taking a look at this week in history with the illustrious Mr. Scott Washington, Hillsborough historian, joining us now, as always, on Thursday evening for what is sure to be another historical round of looking at history. How are you?
Well, good. And if there's no snow, the show must go on.
Absolutely.
So that's always a good thing. And this is a, you know, talk about history. This station has its own bit of history, if I understand. It's
yes.
Its 65th anniversary.
65th birthday today.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. That's right. 1953 yeah. goes on the air
we
today.
We got some people outside waiting after I get off the air. They're going to tell us all about Medicare and how that works. So, yeah. So now that the station is 65, yeah. we qualify.
Well, and also, if I understand right, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, that actually this week marks the one-year anniversary of this show going on the air. Is that right?
Oh, yes, that's right.
That's
actually,
it.
Yeah, that's right. January 26th, I believe,
oh my
was
gosh.
The...
So look at that.
Yeah. So we have now hit 1 year of History Matters.
That's right.
I like
yeah,
it. Yeah,
it's wonderful. We're almost getting into the toddler phase.
We should... I'm going to celebrate it in some way.
Yes,
we need, like,
exactly.
champagne or sparkling
that's
grape
it.
Juice
something
or something like that.
I mean, that's yeah. exciting things to say, that WCHL is why it's one of the best radio stations in the United States, bar none. And not only here in North Carolina, because it's streamed worldwide, people who are listening throughout the United States and around the world, you might say it's a great station for the local planet Earth.
There you go.
And,
oh, I like that.
Yeah.
We're stealing that for the new
good.
Slogan.
Right,
next time we change our slogan, it's going to
yeah,
be the great station
one.
For the local planet Earth.
But,
I like
you
it.
Know, here we are, and it's the 25th, and it's also a good day just simply because of things that happened. The U.S. Virgin Islands was purchased by the United States from Denmark for $25 million on this date in 1917.
101 years ago.
That's right. And yep. 1915 is when Alexander Graham Bell in New York calls Thomas Watson in San Francisco and repeats his famous request, Mr. Watson, come here, I want you. A little bit hard from San Francisco,
yes.
but still pretty amazing. And also,
that's
Nellie
the first transcontinental phone
yes,
call, right?
That's right. Yep, transcontinental. Yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. 1890, Nellie Bly, after the publication of Around the World in 80 Days by Jules Verne, decides to see if she could best that, and she does with 8 days to spare,
nice.
Which is pretty cool to say. This is art imitating life or life imitating art.
Yeah. Pretty cool and also staggering
oh
just
gosh.
How big the world was in 1890.
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about
oh
this.
My,
like, my
yes,
favorite story
exactly.
about the Constitutional Convention is it took the New Hampshire
right.
delegation 2 weeks to get to Philadelphia. And in 1890, it's this incredible feat to get around the world in 72
yes.
days. And now we can get to the moon and back in six.
That's
this
right.
is unbelievable how much the world has shrunk in the last couple of hundred years.
And, you know, so much of that, as we've talked many times about these discoveries and that have changed history,
mm-hmm.
and even this transcontinental phone call.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's transportation
is,
and it's communication,
you know,
technology,
think about Marco
too.
Polo and mm-hmm. the years it took for him to go across. And as some folks have tried to retrace those steps across Iran and
yep.
And into India and into China, they can't believe what he
yeah.
did.
Well, you think about Marco Polo. It's like, this is a guy who is still famous, and I honestly don't know even what century he lived in. Was it the 1200s or something like that? It's hundreds
right.
of years ago. But this is a guy who became famous by taking a trip to China,
right.
coming back, and writing about it.
Right.
Like, how many people are doing that right now? And,
that's right.
But for this to be such a huge accomplishment and an achievement and this pioneering thing
right.
in his time and now today, it's still not accessible to everyone, but it's so commonplace. That,
that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but this idea of movement of people
mm-hmm.
Has affected all of our understandings, even when you do the DNA tests and
mm-hmm.
you find out, how am I related to all these people in Europe?
Yep.
And it turns out, well, there was a lot of movement. There was migrations, there was mm-hmm. droughts, there's famines, there's trade.
Yep.
Trade routes encouraged a lot of that. And, you know, when I think about this this week on January 26th, 1905 is when Maria von Trapp was born.
Ah, yes.
And, of course, if that name sounds familiar, you can think of The Sound of Music
yep.
and Julie Andrews. And the story, the musical, takes some liberties. The overview of that story is right, but World War II comes along, and that family has to flee, finally, in 1938, and comes to America. and they're refugees. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything that's a right cutting-edge bit of news that's part of all the centuries, it's a movement of people because of economic conditions or wars, and certainly refugees are part of that. Yep. And DACA has become very much in the news right now.
And very similar story to today. Back in 19, and we've talked about this on the air. The ship of the damned.
Oh, that's right.
The refugee ship that was carrying children.
Refugees fleeing
the Nazis.
Right.
They come to the United States, and we turn them away because we were just as afraid, irrationally afraid of refugees in 1939 as we are today, and the consequences are tragic both times.
That's right. And yet, how often has this country been defined by the Statue of Liberty, by that beacon of hope that has had a welcoming call to everyone who's a refugee fleeing suffering in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seemed to have made room for so many people, and which is a great thing.
Yeah, but the shrinking of the world, I think, is a really significant development. And there's so much that happens just today in history. January 25th, you mentioned the first transcontinental phone call, first commercial transcontinental jet flight, 1959, same day.
Now, just think about that. Just 1959, that is not that far away.
Yeah, from a phone call to an airplane flight in 44 years, and then the first transcontinental jet flight is like less than 60 years ago, and and now we fly around the country all the time.
Well, it's an interesting week because of that. On a more somber note, this is the week when we have two terrible space disasters. Mm-hmm. One occurs in 1967, the Apollo 1 disaster. Electrical fire breaks out, killing astronauts on the pad. And then in 1986, the Challenger disaster.
Yep.
So it just shows that things are not always easy, but we've continued to move on because that ability to bridge distances is so important.
Yep.
And movies,
you
were mentioning about you know, how movies do that too, that give us new insights, whether we've seen them all or not. And I'm the same way.
I'm working on it.
Yeah,
I'm working
on it. I watch those award shows and go, huh, oh, that's what that's about.
I'm going to try to see Call Me By Your Name tomorrow. I've got Get Out waiting for me at home. I'm working my way through.
You got your bucket list going.
Yeah, got the bucket list,
But, I mean, that's kind of important, is this, and you're absolutely right, is how communication matters. Well, listen, we're on the radio.
Yes.
You know, how big is that? How what a gap
which
it
also
would
like 100 years ago didn't exist.
That's right.
Practically didn't
exactly
exist.
Exactly. And Marconi, of course, is the one who comes up with this idea of, I think radio waves can go farther. And all the experts had said, no, it can't be done. And he goes out and demonstrates it can be done.
Yep. Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. Should we mention that today is opposite day as well?
Oh,
so literally everything we're saying could be a total lie. Who knows?
No, we should not mention it. That's right. This is one of those fun days.
National opposite day.
So all day long you can say the opposite. Or you can watch the news and you think, oh, if I think of the opposite, then I'll know just exactly what's...
Or as the president refers to it, Thursday.
So instead of fake news, it's actually... actually, the real news.
There you go. Yeah.
Then it's suddenly, oh, now we understand. But today is also pretty, well, this week is also kind of important. January 22nd, 1552, a little baby is born who grows up to become Sir Walter Raleigh.
Yep.
And if that name is familiar, well, then you can look at our capital city.
Of Walter.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, well...
I had
Walter
you for two
Ville.
Good That's seconds.
Right. Walterville, welcome. It doesn't have quite the ring, but, you know, the whole East Coast, they didn't know where. Well, they just named it Virginia. It was like the whole East Coast. And obviously it's slightly different, but it's nice to know. And also, thinking of Raleigh, there's another thing that happens this week that I discovered, which was a statue that's in the rotunda of the state capitol, which actually is of
the
George
statue
Washington.
Of George Washington.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
which is still there, I believe.
Yes, it is. But it had to be rebuilt because it burned down when the capitol burned down in the 1830s. And I'm trying to think what the date was.
I think this was January 22nd.
Was it?
I believe so, yeah. I don't have it here, but I think it was pretty early in the week.
Yes,
so,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, January 22nd.
Yep.
And a letter was sent by a North Carolina congressman, Nathaniel Macon, actually to Thomas Jefferson, saying, he recommend a sculptor to create a statue of George Washington. And so with no hesitation, Jefferson recommended this Italian sculptor, Antonio Canova, mm-hmm. who he thought was the best there was. And so it was Washington as a Roman soldier. And it arrived in 1821, cost $10,000, which was a lot of money in those days. But it received acclaim nationwide. And then it was a dedication. In fact, the Marquis de Lafayette was actually there at the dedication. But the Capitol burned in 1831, and the marble sculpture was shattered. Pieces mm-hmm. were saved. And then finally, in 1908, an original model of this sculpture was found in the Canova Museum in Italy, and Italian authorities allowed a plaster replica to be made. And then in 1970, a marble reproduction of the original sculpture, 1970, isn't that amazing?
Man.
Was placed in the rotunda where it still greets visitors.
That's
today.
Awesome.
That's
a much better
story
than I thought it was. Can we also talk about the fact that Thomas Jefferson is just such a Renaissance man that you can send him a letter and be like, I want a sculpture of George Washington, and Jefferson's like, oh, I know a guy.
Yeah.
I know the best sculptor in Italy. Just tell him I sent you.
Well, there you go. He would be in connection with people worldwide, even though it took so long. And mm-hmm. we talked about this astonishing patience of sending out a letter and going, okay, now I know who these people are or being connected.
And that's also a good point, too, because we talk about all of these recent developments in terms of transportation and communication. There were those people, and Jefferson went to Europe and met with everyone and came back and shared that knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
And that movement was definitely around then as well.
I always wondered about that statue, but I'm going to look at it with different eyes now.
I thought you were older.
But it's kind of cool that even though it burns, that somehow they find us a model, they redo the original, and then they recast it in marble.
And that's George Washington as a Roman soldier as well, which says a whole lot about the way that we looked at art, for instance, in the early 19th century, that we had all like this classical period where every great hero, we turned them into this Roman figure, and the way in which America thought of itself as being sort of the model of the Roman Republic, and then depicting George Washington in that way.
Yes.
I mean, can you just close your eyes and imagine someone today sculpting our current president as a Roman soldier? The reaction would be pretty negative against this, because how dare you lionize the president in this way? But that's what we did with Washington.
Yes, we did.
And a whole bunch of other figures all through American history.
Well, I think there was such a sense of reverence for Washington and really respect for this unusual man that had a sense, and people wanted to crown him as king.
Yep.
And he said no.
And he said no, but he was the one who had to step in and say that.
Which he, you know, that was a great temptation.
Well, I was talking about The Shape of Water earlier, and speaking of movies, I really want to remember what the movie was, but it was one of those early 1930s Busby Berkeley musicals. I think it was 42nd Street, but I could be wrong. It could have been like Gold Diggers of 1933, something like that. I got into this kick of like, oh, I should see a couple of these Busby Berkeley musicals.
Great.
So I got them on Netflix. I think it was 42nd Street that did this, where the movie ends with this big, like the plot wraps up, and then the next 15 minutes is this huge Busby Berkeley number, but it ends with all of these, it's a tribute to the Forgotten Man, and it ends with this marching band marching down the street, they're holding up cards with the, like, and all of the cards form the American flag, and then they turn the cards over and it's FDR's face. And this is 1933.
Oh,
like, this is
gosh.
This is just at the start of the New Deal. This is before he becomes this sort of generally accepted. He's still a controversial figure at this point, but this movie did this as this kind of really over the top tribute to FDR.
Wow.
And I just watched this
day
like, oh, in the first year,
Of course, Roosevelt did so much and provided, and even when he was campaigning on a New Deal for people. Because times were tough.
Yeah.
And
but it was
inspiring.
Controversial, and the Great Depression doesn't end until World War II begins, really.
That's right.
So, yeah. Yeah, that was the one of the most like striking, fascinating moments for me watching a movie, is just the way in which the president is depicted in society. And that in this Washington statue is exactly the same.
Well, and of course, what FDR too was a different vision of government. Mm-hmm. Instead of it being a passive sit back, you're on your own, it was an active participant in helping to better people's lives and to make a difference. And that is still a significant issue of debate.
We got Scott Washington here with History Matters on this, our 65th anniversary of being on the air on WCHL, and our first anniversary of this particular segment. So this is the most historic segment we've ever had.
Happy birthday to us.
We have time
for it. It is the most historic segment.
Yeah. Well, I guess technically every segment is the most historic.
It is.
We just keep building more and more history.
Every time. Well, you know, I think of this week, we have the first ice cream bar, the Eskimo Pie, is patented by C.K. Nelson in 1922, January 24th.
And on the same day, 13 years later, the first canned beer is sold in New Jersey because,
coincidence?
Of course.
I think not.
Probably not.
Gee,
like, we've got
bar,
an ice cream
bar. I need
bar.
Something else. If only I could wash it down with something.
How about a beer? Well, it's so hard to, transport.
Exactly.
And then the koozie probably came along like the next day.
Yeah. These are the things we look for, are these little moments of history, which are not only the people like Lewis Carroll and Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's share the same birthday, January 27th. Mm-hmm. Lewis Carroll, 1832. Mozart, 1756. But it's kind of fun to see what was happening in these different time periods. Yeah. Extraordinary people mark history, and sometimes these extraordinary visions that people have of saying, I want to reach out, I want to call across the country, go around the globe, go to the moon and back, or have moon pie.
And, there you go. And the world shrinks. And speaking of the shrinking of things, I want to wrap up by talking about the invention of miniature golf, which was in North Carolina.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Everybody who's played miniature golf will be glad to know that North Carolina has the actual the pride of being the ones where this is apparently was invented down in Pinehurst.
In Pinehurst, of course.
Which is just a fascinating, a little bit of trivia I never knew.
Yeah.
And I've played it, everybody has different places, and you think, hey, this happened? This was invented in North Carolina?
Yeah.
Well,
I think if I remember right, playing miniature golf was the first thing I did after getting engaged.
Well, then that's another
historic
mile. My memory
is a little hazy of that
whole
day,
this whole time has been, this segment has been historic moments.
All leading up to that.
A hole in one. I think that's a good thing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. History Matters with Scott Washington. Thank you so much.
Thank
I'll see you
next
week.
Happy birthday, and thank you for the opportunity to do this with you every week, Aaron. It is just great. Now, we hope that if you're listening, that you will want to have other people join and be a part of this too.
And you can listen to all of our segments on our website, chapelburra.com, a year's worth of segments.
It never gets old.
It never gets old. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric.